In a game of chess, you have two opponents, one on each side of the board. You have your various pieces, the kings, the queens, the knights, the rooks, the bishops. And the goal in the game of chess is to capture the opponent's king. So you sit on each side of the board and you move your pieces. You're starting with your pawns in front. And you move across the board as two armies in battle to try and accomplish that goal. Chess is the kind of game that takes a lot of concentration, a lot of thinking ahead, a lot of planning, because you're not just planning your next move, you're planning your second move, your third move, and so on and so forth. And it's a game of planning and strategy that sometimes takes hours to play. It's a process. I thought about that this week as I thought about this story in 1 Samuel, especially as we come now to the anointing of David, the choosing of David by the Lord to be the next king of Israel. Saul had disappointed the people and disappointed the Lord. So the Lord sent Samuel to Jesse in Bethlehem to choose one of his sons, and David was chosen, the youngest, the shepherd boy, who had fine appearance and handsome features. So I thought about that, this whole story this week, and how things are starting to unfold. I thought about how things had to be put in place. Various things had to be well thought out and planned ahead, such as in a game of chess, that the various players had to be in the proper position for God to accomplish his goal with his people Israel. Thought about that last night as I watched Justify win the Triple Crown in horse racing, about all that had to be put into place in order for this great accomplishment to take place. Thought about the same in my own personal days of racing, and how so many things had to be put in place to accomplish the victory. Things including the weather and my own physical conditioning and all kinds of things. I also thought about a lot of you women are working with quilts and things, and how you have the picture in your mind of what you want to accomplish, but everything has to be put in place and laid out for it to be just what you plan for it to be. Everything has to be in place. It's a process as this all takes place. It's sort of like a human chess game that we engage in humanity as we live out our lives. But life is not just a chess game. Life is God's working out of his will for his glory and the revelation of salvation in Jesus Christ. This becomes evident in 1 Samuel. As we start to watch things unfold, remember this story started with a woman who could have no children. And as things evolved through, the people wanted a king. God warned them, you're going to get a king, and the king is going to take advantage of you, and you're not going to be happy. And that happened in Saul. So God said, here's my choice. Go choose the son of Jesse, a shepherd boy. And Samuel did that, and he anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And it tells us in the text that from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Saul was a Benjamite. He was impressive. He was without equal. He was tall, the story tells us. He would have been you and I's pick to be the greatest king that Israel ever had. David, on the other hand, was from the tribe of Judah. He was ruddy. He was fine in appearance. He was handsome. He was a young boy. Scholars believe he was somewhere between the age of 10 and 17 when Samuel went out into the pasture and anointed him. He was the unlikely choice to be the greatest king Israel ever knew. The question was now, how would he get from the pastures to the throne if God chose him to be king? How would this young boy, this pretty boy, as we talked about him last week, that we would have seen on the cover of GQ magazine, how was he going to get from the pastures, the stinky, lowly pastures to the greatest position in history on the throne of Israel. Thought about that a little bit as that question came to mind in the progression of the story in my own simple case, and asking, how in the world am I going to get from the nursery fields, from the landscaping projects, from the smells of the sprays, the fertilizers, and the dirtiness of the soil, sweaty days, how was I going to get there to the pulpit to be God's spokesperson and join in the journey with congregations in this great chess game that we're involved in? In our text, it tells us, as the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Now, right off the bat, here's a lot of questions. An evil spirit from the Lord tormenting Saul. All of a sudden, we start to think that, well, God is torturing Saul. And that doesn't seem right, because God's a God of love. Why would God torment Saul? And why would God, or how could God send an evil spirit? God's a good God. But it shows us here that God is ultimately in control. And if we agree, first of all, that God is good, and we agree with that because the Bible tells us, and secondly, if we agree that God is sovereign, we have to understand that this is taking place for a greater good, to accomplish God's person. So when someone says to me, why is God allowing this to happen in my life? Why do I feel so tormented? Why am I suffering? There is one correct theological and biblical answer, and that is because God is doing something good, of greater good. We may not understand it, and this didn't make sense until you continue to follow the story and see what takes place. And that's the way life is. But in following the story, you have to trust along the way that God is working for a greater good here. So God allows this evil spirit, much in the same way he allowed the enemy to torment Job. And we know the end result of Job was great, greater than the beginning. So God allowed this evil spirit, because the evil spirit could not torment Saul unless God allowed it to happen. And this is very, very real in the life of God's people. I know exactly how he feels, or how he felt. Those middle of the night encounters when the enemy launches those attacks, tormenting, accusing, especially Saturday nights. Oh, the enemy doesn't want me here on Sunday morning. He wants to disturb my sleep as much as possible. Let's see. So the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Differently than the Holy Spirit now in believers, where God pours out his Holy Spirit on believers as a permanent thing. The Holy Spirit of God worked in and out of his people in the Old Testament. And Saul was tormented. So Saul's attendants said to him, see, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants to search for someone who can play the harp. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes upon you, and you'll feel better. First of all, we see that God ordains certain situations that require something only God can give. When we're in those situations and we don't understand why, we have to understand that God has ordained them for his certain purpose. The Bible tells us that God works things for good for those who love him. God works things for good. He ordains certain situations to require something only God can give. My question as I read this, I said, well, why didn't they inquire of God? Isn't that what we're supposed to do first and foremost, is turn to God in these struggles when we feel tormented? Why didn't they just turn to God? But they didn't. You see, I said, well, let's go search for someone who can play the harp. When the evil spirit comes upon you, you'll play the harp and you'll feel better. There is a lot of power in music. Music is one of the things that I personally use to get well when I'm sick. I love when I'm sick as a dog in bed to have music playing. I don't know what it is about music, but it does something to our soul. And this harp that David was able to play, that they were looking for, when I asked, we get these pictures of these harps and these angelic people playing these harps, but the word harp in the ancient language actually means to twang. And I started thinking of the steel guitars and country and the twang and all that kind of stuff. You know, we all enjoy different kinds of music. In fact, the harp was a very early form of the guitar. The harp, the lyre, and some of these instruments were very early forms of what we have today in our modern society. So when people say, well, we shouldn't have guitars in church, that's not the proper godly things to do. Why not? Why not? God gave David the gift of being able to play the harp. So they sought him out. One of the servants answered, I've seen the son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. Now let's start with this point. First of all, God ordains certain situations that require something only God can give. Here's David, this fine-looking young man who's a shepherd boy. And at first, we know that he has the gift of music to play the harp. All of a sudden now, we say, well, he knows how to play the harp. He's a brave man. He's a warrior. He speaks well, and he's a fine-looking man. And the Lord is with him. Look at the attributes here as they build earthly gifts, earthly abilities. But lastly, and most importantly, the Lord is with him. That's the key. See, God enables us in certain ways. He gives us attributes for his purpose, whether they are natural abilities that we have or whether they're spiritual gifts as we read about and learn them in the Bible. God gives them to us for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is to glorify God. And it's a shame so much of it's being wasted on our world today. So God ordains these situations that require something only God can give. He gives us attributes for his purpose, to accomplish his purposes. And we see this David has been given all these attributes. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, a young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. Huh. All of a sudden, David's no longer in the pasture. He's with the king, in the presence of the king, a shepherd boy. A shepherd boy. God gave him the attributes. When he was born, as he grew, the Lord was with him, and now all of a sudden, he's poised to take the king. Perfectly placed. God's providence places his players. He ordains the situations. He gives us attributes for his purpose. And he places his players. David came to Saul. He entered his service. Saul liked him very much. And David became one of his armor bearers. Look at the progression here. Look at what's happening to God's young servant as he progresses towards the throne to be God's man, who is a man after God's own heart. Then Saul sent word to Jesse saying, how about allowing David to remain in my service? I'm pleased with him. Pleased with him. So whenever the Spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. Relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. Through playing the harp, a young shepherd boy, God ordains those situations. He gives attributes used for his purpose. He provides his players, puts them in place. And lastly, he overpowers the opponent. I'm going to say that again. He overpowers the opponent. We get into these battles, and all of a sudden, we have to do something about it. And we have to do something big. It's got to be big, because this is a big problem. And we're going to see the problems get bigger next week as David goes to the battlefield. He finds a giant problem that would have overcome any of us. But God takes this young shepherd boy, a man after his own heart, that was planned long before the creation of the world, and God brings him from the pasture to the presence of a king with the attributes that God has given him. Saul makes him an armor bearer, and David with a simple heart defeats the evil spirit time and time again. Now I asked myself as I read this part of the story, what's this have to do with us? How does this challenge me personally in my own life? I thought about this all throughout the Bible, how God puts his people in perfect place. I thought about a young boy who was saved from death by being put in a basket in the river, and who found him. Pharaoh's own family. They kept him, they raised him, and he brought God's people out of slavery in Egypt. Think about Noah. Noah was not a boat builder. And God told him, I want you to build a boat. Here's how I want you to do it. And told him that Noah worked on it for a long time, and finally, he was raised to save because of his man Noah. Abraham had faith in God. He was just simply a shepherd, a wanderer. God came in and spoke to him. And God put things in place for him. See, all along the way in our lives, God is moving things. And the reason that he's always successful in defeating the opponent is because he knows the opponent's next move. And we have to understand. We have to understand that the opponent that we are facing, folks, is not flesh and blood, as Paul told the Ephesians. The opponent we are facing is an ancient foe that knows every strategy to get to you and I, and sometimes he's successful. But the thing of it is, if we trust in God, knowing that God knows the opponent's next move, God's already gone ahead of not only us, but the opponent, that God's going to overpower that opponent. When you sit in the doctor's office and the opponent says, where's your God now? Or you lose that job and God says, wow, you don't have any money now. You're going bankrupt. Or when you face those trials, struggles in your marriage, in your home life, the phone rings, and it's the school calling because your child has had all kinds of problems in school. Or the police break into your house in the middle of the night and take the young boy because of something that he texted. We face those things in life. It's a process in this game of chess, and sometimes we allow the enemy, the opponent, to defeat us because the board doesn't look like we think it should look. But God knows every move that that opponent's going to try on us. And if we just trust God and relax, no matter how unusual this seems, God in every place, at every time, is moving people and moving gifts and moving resources. You see, get his will done. And if we really trust the Bible and trust God's word, we will trust that God makes all things work together for good for those who love him. This would have seemed so unlikely. How many of us would have chosen the young shepherd boy to do God's will? Now, as I say, I ask myself, how does this apply to us in our day to day? When we get into these situations, who are we trusting in? Are we trying to make the moves and manipulate things and manipulate people? Or are we relaxing? I got to tell you a story that's been on my mind all week. I want to share. This is really, really awesome. I was at the doctor's office the other day with my daughter, Ellen, as we were discussing surgery procedures with the doctor. And the Lord laid it on my heart to ask her, is she a Christian? So I said to her, I said, can I ask you a question? She said, sure. I said, are you a Christian? She said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. And I said, do you attend church anywhere? She said, yes, I attend church at Christ United Methodist Church in Salisbury. Whoever pastor was, I know who I am, not who I am, but who he is. And you know what she did? She shared her faith story. It was awesome to hear as God put people together to share their faith story, to strengthen them, to comfort them in those times of uncertainty. Let's see. She shared how, as a little girl, she was born in Western Pennsylvania, and her father was a coal miner, and how they moved to West Virginia for work, and then finally he moved up here in this area, and she grew up in this area. And she said when they moved back here, she was struggling with where to go to church. She was praying about it. What she shared, she prays in prayer and service. She was praying, God, where do you want me to go to church here? And she was praying about it, and she walked into a grocery store one day, and there came a man at the door with a big shirt on that said, Christ United Methodist Church. Now, how many doctors would share that with us? How many of us would have the courage to ask our doctors about their faith and their strength? But the key here is God places these people in our lives for His glory, and His glory alone. I'm not here to exalt myself. I'm here to exalt God. And I'm here to join the journey that we're on together. And the stuff that I've learned by being here from the congregations here. Wow, God, only you could have done this. You see, you're key players. We're all key players in God's great plan to reveal His glory and His message of salvation in Jesus Christ. He gives us the attributes. You might think you are the most unlikely person to reach somebody with that, but God says you are exactly the person that I want to do that. Because you've got the gifts. We're going to find out how David uses these gifts. First of all, he uses the harp to cast the evil spirit out and chase him away. See? It's pretty cool when we start to really understand that. Put ourselves in this place. Put ourselves in this place, and we would say, God wouldn't choose me. I don't have anything to offer. I'm too old. I don't have a degree. I don't have the experience. And the Bible tells us you're exactly who God has chosen to make all things work together for good. Did we in our own strength confide? Our striving is losing. We're not the right man on our side. The man of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it's He. Lord Sabaoth, His name. And from age to age, the same, because He must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we'll not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still, because His kingdom is forever. God puts everything in place, folks. whatever you might be going through right now, whatever you might have gone through, whatever you might be going through in the future that you don't even have a clue about right now, understand God puts all things in place and all things together and works all things together because he's God, he's good, he's sovereign, he's powerful, he's merciful, he's compassionate. And the Bible tells us he has plans for us, not to destroy us, but to prosper us. One little note real quickly, and then I'm done. A lot of people say, well, we don't really have the evil spirits today like we did back then. Yes, we do. Those evil spirits are anger, hatred, bigotry, racism, sexism, pride. They're rampant in our society. Evil spirits are the spirits that are against God. That's what evil is, against God, turning from God. And Paul told the Ephesians, we're not fighting against human beings, we're fighting against those evil powers. I see. And you feel like those evil powers are overcoming you. And you feel so distraught, so depressed, a lot of depression. It's a terrible evil spirit. And I know that it's a physiological thing. I understand that. But it's also a spiritual thing that Satan uses very powerfully to tear us down. I know I've been there. I want that to happen. I know what that's like. It's not fun. It's dark. But I know one thing for sure. There's light at the end. And I know God's going to bring things around. He's going to put people in my life. He's going to put circumstances in my life. He's going to provide for me every step of the way. Because though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. Because God's rod and his staff are going to cover me. Whatever you might be going through right now, understand God's working all things together for good. And he's going to save you because he's a God of salvation. Though it may not seem so, though the circumstances might seem like they're out of control, and there's no hope, God always hears them. In the most unusual ways, most unusual places, power and providence. Thank you, God, for your encouragement this morning in this.